I want you to think about this. Let's look at the subject. The subject of Hebrews chapter 11, as we generally know, is what? Faith, all right? So the subject of Hebrews chapter 11 is faith. We call this sometimes the Faith Hall of Fame. Now, I want you to keep a marker here. I've got two. All right, turn back to Romans chapter number 12. Now, don't leave me, okay? Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter number 12. Okay? All right. Romans chapter number 12. And look, if you would, at verse number 3. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. For I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man. What's the last phrase? The measure of faith. Now, we could, but we won't for sake of time. If we went into John chapter number 1, Jesus is called the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Okay, you know that verse? I think it's verse 7. Now, the Bible says here that God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Now, I need a couple of volunteers here. I need younger volunteers. I need volunteers. I just need four. Okay, give me four. All right? I need four volunteers. Who's the kid who wants to make some money today? Okay? All right. Dylan, you want to make some money?
Yes.
Come here. Come here. All right. I already got one kid. Sorry. You fell asleep at the switch. Okay, now I need an older person who wants to make some money. Oh, sorry, Josh. I didn't see you. All right, hang on. Let's see. All right, so let's see. Brother Barnes, why don't you come down here? You need to make some money because you work at the church. Okay? I know how much you make. I signed your check. He needs some money. All right, that might be four right there. Make him three, okay? All right. All right, I got my kid already. Okay. All right, so let's see. Dad, why don't you come here? I'm using my dad for a volunteer. Come here, Dad. Send him up here. Just have him stand right here, okay? All right, come on. Okay? All right, let's see. Brother Steve, come on over here, okay? You're over here, okay? All right. Okay, so put him down here on the end. Brother Steve, you're in the middle, okay? That's fine. Okay, now, I want you to think about this, okay? Now, I found out that preaching gets expensive, okay? So I'm going to give these guys $5 a piece, and you can keep it. Not like the Christmas lights last night, so I felt kind of cheap about that. But you know, we're going to use them next year, okay? There's a $5 bill. I'm making up for it today. I was going to give them a one, and then I thought, no, I'll give them a five, okay? You get a five. All right, Dad, now make sure you tithe on this, okay? Okay, there you go. Okay, now hold on to that. Now, okay. Now, every man has the same amount of money, right? You get a $5 bill. If I hear five and five and five, okay, it's an auctioneer, right? Got $5 with, okay? Now, that's the measure of faith. Now, everybody's going to do something different with this $5 bill, okay? How old are you, Dylan?
11.
Dylan's going to buy candy with that, right? Is that what a kid does? Do you like candy? Does he like candy? All right, let me see your teeth. Oh, you're doing good, okay? Brother Jackson runs a candy store. So what are you going to buy with it? For pretend.
Candy.
He's going to buy candy with it, okay? Now, but Steve, what do you think you'd do with that $5 bill? He's going to pay bills with that. That's a good choice.
Bills.
Okay, bills. All right. What do you think you're going to do with that $5 bill?
Diapers.
Okay. So what are you going to do with it? Candy. Bills. Diapers. Okay. And Dad, this guy here, I know where he lives, right? No. He's on Social Security, okay? With the cost of living increase didn't catch up with Bidenomics, okay? He's actually eating cat food, okay? So he's just going to do it to stay alive. He's going to supplement his income, right? That's really not true, right? Okay, but donuts, yeah, he'd buy donuts, okay? For sake of our illustration today, okay? He's going to use it just to stay alive. Right? He's going to live till tomorrow, okay? So he's just staying alive. Right? Staying alive, don't do staying alive, okay? Okay? Wow. Okay, so what are you going to do with it? Candy?
Bills.
Bills.
Diapers.
Donuts.
Donuts. He said donuts. He ruined my illustration. We got to practice this at home, okay? He said, okay? Now, that's the idea, okay? Now, God gives to every man the measure of faith, okay? It's the measure. It's the same thing. Everybody in the world, I don't know how this works. Look, I don't know how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white milk, okay? But it happens, right? So I'm just like, okay, well, I'm just going to go with it, okay? I don't know. But he has the measure of faith. He's going to use it to buy candy. This guy's going to pay his bills. He's going to buy diapers. And he's just trying to stay alive. So he's buying food and, you know, whatever he can. You got cat food. Okay, something just to stay alive. Okay, he doesn't eat cat food. All right? So everybody does something different with it, right? Now, we look at it and say, listen, if I need to pay my bills, I'm not buying candy. If I need to buy diapers, I'm not paying my bills. I'm just kidding. That's not true. Okay? So every man gets the measure of faith. Where they put that faith is up to them. Okay? I give them the $20. How they want to invest that money, you can send it in the college fund. Okay, that'd be a good idea, right? It won't go very far. I'll buy you a pencil, all right? But you can put it in the college fund. That'd be a good idea because the candy is going to be gone. But the Jackson will be happy if you buy it at his store, but it'll be gone. Okay, the bills, there's going to be more bills. You got to keep paying the bills. The diapers, get washable diapers. I'm glad I'm not your neighbor, okay? Cloth diapers, right? We all grew up on them, right? No, everyone says, no, don't do that, okay? No matter what, that's something you sacrifice and you just pay for, okay? And then food, sustenance, donuts, right? So everybody does something different with it. Same thing is true with faith. God gives to every man the measure of faith. Some people put that measure in themselves. They say, you know what? I am going to take the measure of faith. I'm going to put it in myself. I'm going to take myself to heaven, right? And so they get religion. They get baptized, right? They be good, right? All those things. Somebody else takes that measure of faith and they invest it in someone else. Okay? They say, well, somebody else can take me to heaven. And so they take some religious, you know, leader or something. They say, this person's going to get me, or maybe a church, right? Somebody else takes that measure of faith. Maybe they just disregard it. They say, you know what? I don't care. I'm just gonna spend it because I don't even believe in God, right? Somebody else might say, you know what? I'm going to take that measure of faith. And I'm going to put it in Jesus Christ, and He's my Savior, and He's taking me to heaven. Okay? So everybody puts that measure of faith, as they did here in the line, in a different place because we all have a different perspective, right? Okay, thank you, guys. You can have a seat. Candy, bills, keep it. Diapers and food, donuts. Now, we are here to strengthen our faith. Each one of us invest our faith where we choose. That's our choice. We're here to learn more about faith and to be a better investor. Jesus said this. In Mark chapter 11, he said, have faith in God. Verse 22. Have faith in God. I've given to every man the measure of faith. Some people take that measure of faith, put it in religion. They'll die and go to hell. Some people take that measure of faith, put it in themselves. They'll die and go to hell. Put it in somebody else. Disregard it. Just throw it away. They'll die and go to hell. Some people put it in Jesus Christ for salvation. They'll go to heaven. Now, same is true with our life. We put the measure of faith for salvation, then we're supposed to live by faith. So we're here to strengthen our faith. Have faith in God. That is the best investment. Have faith in God, number one, for salvation. Look at verse number 6. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Have faith in God for salvation. Believe in God. God created everything from nothing. Everything that we see, God created from nothing. Now, I want you to think about this for just a minute, okay? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God spoke and it came into existence. 6 literal days. God created everything we see from nothing. Science tells us that you came from a monkey. Isn't it amazing? We all look the same. Right? 2 eyes, 2 arms, DNA strand that goes from here to the moon, right? But you came from a monkey. Where'd the monkey come from? The monkey came from another animal, you know, that was swimming around in the ocean and had an itch, you know, and started scratching, and pretty soon a tail popped out, right, and climbed up on the beach, right? Where'd that animal come from? Well, it came from an amoeba, right? Ever heard that one before? In the beginning, amoeba. So here we are in the science lab looking at a microscope at one of those little slides, right? And you look at it and say, hey, that's my great-grandfather right there, right? Well, where are these stages of evolution, right? I mean, think about it. Everything came from an amoeba. In the beginning, amoeba. Okay, so you get in your car this afternoon, and you sit down and you go, huh, this car came from an amoeba. Car's not nearly as complicated as your body, right? This car came from an amoeba. Can you believe that? It came from something just as silly, right? You'd say, no way this car came from an amoeba. This car came from the factory, right, that had an engineer, they had to make a prototype, they had to run it through a wind tunnel, and they had to do all kinds of experimentation on it, right, so they don't get lawsuits and get a recall, right? There was a lot of thought put into this car. Well, you know, your body's a way more complicated thing than any car. Think about a watch, right? In the beginning, amoeba, this watch came from a single-celled amoeba. Well, that's funny because the hands go clockwise every day and they keep the same exact time every day, and it keeps me on time where I'm going. But it just evolved. That is so stupid. I'm sorry, can I say that Sunday morning? That is so unintelligent. You have to believe in God. That's where we start. Now, I'm going to read you something. I'm taking some time here, but this is so amazing. Okay, this is not a Christian book. This is called Fundamental Chemistry. Okay, Andrew and Cokes. It's not a Christian book. I don't even know who the author is. They don't claim to be a Christian. They might be an atheist. Okay, but just to give you a perspective of who you are. Large numbers, page 8. To express the difference in size between ordinary objects and very small objects, such as atoms and their nuclei, we've already used numbers like millions and billions. The numbers of atoms in the human body is 1 with 27 zeros after it. That's a little more than the national debt, but we're getting close. The name of this number is octillion. And the usual symbol for it is 10 to the 27th power. You have 1 octillion atoms in your body right now. Now, I want you to think how you came from an amoeba, a single-celled amoeba, yet you have 27 octillion atoms in your body. Since the number 10 raised to the power 27, or 10 with an exponent 27, is the same as the number 1 followed by 27 zeros, this exponential notation is more convenient than writing out 27 zeros or using a name like octillion. We shall use the experimental notion almost exclusively, and it's important that you learn how to use it. The simple rule for combining exponents and equations are given in the appendix, right? So we're trying to get a feel for how big this number is of the atoms in your body. Okay, so this guy breaks it down real simple. So I got this. Listen to this. This is awesome. We're going to use peas from your garden, right, as an example. If you count out 100, 10 to the second power, 10 times 10, right, average peas, for instance, you will find that they occupy roughly the volume of a cubic inch, probably before they're cooked. After they're cooked, maybe you could mash them together, a cubic inch. A million 10 to the 6th power peas are just enough to fill an ordinary household refrigerator. And who does these experiments, right? And a billion 10 to the 12th power peas will fill 1,000 houses. The number you might find in this medium-sized town, and a quadrillion 10 to the 15th power peas will fill all the buildings in one of our larger cities like Philadelphia or Baltimore. Okay, we're only up to the 15th zero. You can see that you will run out of buildings very soon at this rate. So let us try a larger measure, for instance, the state of Pennsylvania. You ever drive through Pennsylvania? Big state. Suppose that there is a blizzard over Pennsylvania, but instead of snowing peas, or snow, it snows peas. We get Pennsylvania covered with a blanket of peas about 4 feet deep, all the way from New Jersey out to Ohio and all the way from Maryland to New York State. The blanket of peas drifts over the roads and banks up against the sides of the houses and covers all the fields and forests. Think of flying across the state with the blanket of peas extending out as far as you can see. This gives you an idea of our next number. For there will be in this blanket about a quintillion 10 to the 18th power of peas. Imagine that this blizzard of peas falls over the entire land area of the globe. North America, South America, Europe, Australia, Asia, and Africa. So that all the continents are covered with peas 4 feet deep. This global blanket will contain sextillion 10 to the 21st power of peas. Then imagine that the oceans are frozen over and the blanket of peas covers the entire area of the earth. Go out among neighboring stars and collect 250 planets, each the size of the earth, and cover those with a blanket of peas 4 feet deep. Then you will have septillion, 10 to the 24th power peas. You have more atoms in your body than this. Okay, now just think about this. Finally, go out into the furthest reaches of the Milky Way and collect 250,000 planets, each the size of Earth. Cover each of these planets with peas 4 feet deep, and then at last you have octillion, 10 to the 27th power peas, the number corresponding to the number of atoms in your body. You have that many atoms in your body. If you took 250,000 planets the size of Earth and covered them 4 feet deep in peas, that would be an identical number of atoms that you have in your body, and you came from an amoeba. Who is the fool? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. God did something that I can't even comprehend and I can't fathom, and science says you came from a one-celled amoeba. That is a bunch of baloney. God created you. So we have to have faith in God for salvation. Verse number 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. That He is a reward of them that diligently seek Him. Look at verse 3. We read this verse together. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were formed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. God spoke and it came into existence. God made everything. Listen, I have so much faith in God. You put faith in science. I mean, it's crazy. We came from a one-celled amoeba and we're that complicated. That's just the number of atoms in your body. Never mind all the other things that have to go on in your body. Think about this. Have faith in God for salvation. So the first thing we see in chapter 11 is verse number 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. We don't have time, but we could read about it in the book of Genesis. God came to Cain and Abel and he said, okay, I want you to have faith in me, and I want you to demonstrate that faith by taking a lamb as a sacrifice, because one day the Lamb of God will sacrifice himself on an old rugged cross in Jerusalem, and he'll die for the sins of the world. And Abel said, okay, I'll do that. And he took a lamb, a firstling of the flock, and he sacrificed that lamb. And that was a picture of Jesus Christ. Cain said, you know what? I got something better than that. I am a farmer. I'm going to bring the fruit of the ground. And he brought the best that he had. And God says, no, I don't want your best. I want a sacrifice. And so he said, look, Cain, you can try it again. Sin is here waiting at your door. There's an offering crouching at your door. It'll jump right into your arms. Not only did I tell you what to sacrifice, I provided the sacrifice. And Cain said, no, I'm not going to do it. You remember the story, Cain killed Abel. Abel is righteous because he received the sacrifice and offered the sacrifice. And God said, I accept your sacrifice as the covering for your sin. Cain never did that and Cain was rejected. If you're going to have faith, you have to have faith in God. Take that measure of faith and put it in Jesus Christ and say, okay, it's not myself. It's not my works. It's not my religion. It's not anything I do. It's not anything. It's Jesus Christ. I'm going to put that measure of faith in Him to save me and take me to heaven someday. We must come through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the door. He said, I am the water of life. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. But faith in Christ. Look at one verse here, Acts chapter number 8. Acts chapter number 8. It's a new Bible. I thought Acts was in the back. It's right where it used to be. Acts chapter 8. Philip is preaching a revival in Samaria. God says to Philip, I want you to go down to Gaza. I want you to go down because there's a man there who needs the gospel. So he leaves the revival where everything is going good. Verse number 26. Go from Jerusalem unto Gaza. It'd be good if he went there again, right? They need the gospel. And he meets one man. We don't know his name. He was from Ethiopia. He's from Africa. He was a eunuch. He went up into Jerusalem for a religious day, a religious celebration, a religious feast, and he came back just as lost as he was. And he's sitting in his chariot and he's reading the scripture. And the place that he's reading, and you can read all about it later, he's reading Isaiah 53. It talks all about Jesus Christ. And Philip joins himself to the chariot and he says, hey, what's this guy talking about? He's talking about himself or some other man. And he preaches unto him Jesus. And he gets to the conclusion of, finally, what am I going to do with Jesus? You have to receive him as your Savior. And the Bible says that he has to be baptized. And so Philip asks him the question. As they went on their way, verse 36, they came to under a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is who? The Son of God, verse 37. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a confession of the deity of Christ. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah who came from heaven in the fullness of time. Galatians 4:4. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He died on the cross. He shed his blood. He was buried and he rose again after 3 days and 3 nights. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Not only did I believe in that historically and in my head, but I believe it with my heart. I believe it with all that I am. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. He said, okay, you can be baptized. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. We must put our faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. That's where it all starts. Now, I want you to think about the second point. I only have 2 points this morning. This one's 57 subpoints. But point number two, have faith in God for living. Have faith in God for living. Look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Have faith in God for living. Have faith to live for God when you're in the minority. You can read about Noah in Genesis chapter number 6, verses 5, 6, 7, and 8. We won't. But God looked down and he saw the whole world was wicked. The whole world was sinful and violence covered the earth, except for one man and his family. God said, I see one man who walks with God. I see one man who has faith. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In a world that was living a wicked, incredible, horrible lifestyle, there was one family that stood out. And God said, you know what? I'm going to save the whole world with this one family. Have faith to live for God in a wicked world. I don't know if we're living in as wicked world as Noah did, but probably not. But, you know, there's a whole lot more than one family that wants to do right. Isn't that incredible? Have faith to live for God when you're in a minority. Hey, listen, you're going to run into some things in the next couple of weeks. So make up your mind. From now through the new year, I'm going to be in church. Church is not a magic place, okay? It'll keep you from getting in trouble. It'll keep you on the right track. You're going to get into some things between now and Christmas. They're going to have Christmas parties. And they're going to have all kinds of things like booze, right? Listen, alcohol has not done anyone any good ever. Ever. Maybe if you pour it in a cut, right, it might burn out the infection. But that's it, okay? It's not done any good for anybody. I preach every Tuesday in the jail. And I tell those guys, 95% of you guys are in here because of alcohol and drugs and your behavior while you're on them. They said, Pastor, the number's too low. It's probably higher. So they're going to have these alcoholic drunken parties. You know what you should do? Hey, I'm busy that day. I have to stay home and watch paint dry or something. I am not going. I am not going to go. Why? Because I have faith in God that in a wicked world, when everybody else is drinking, I'm not. And I'm not going to be among wine bibbers. That's a Bible verse, okay? So I'm going to have faith in God to live a godly life. Well, I'll give you a Christmas present. I'll send it in. Okay, I'm going to be a nice guy. Right? I'll give you $20, right? Okay, have faith in God. Most of the world sits in darkness without Christ. Last week we looked at you are the light of the world and you are the salt of the earth. Have faith to obey God. Have faith. I want you to look at some other character. Look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it is said, then Isaac shall thy seed be called, according to God. Accordingly, that accounting that God was able to raise him up from the dead, even from thence he also received them in a figure. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. So three or four times here we find Isaac. Now, if you remember the story of Isaac, I was just reading this and I thought, you know, Isaac had to have faith in God that God was going to find him a wife. You remember that story? The servant goes and he brings gifts with him. And he was going to go find him a wife in the far country. Isaac must have put a lot of trust in that servant, right? Who is he going to bring back? What's this one going to be like? Can we throw him back if they're not the one I want, right? Yeah, listen, have faith for those who are unmarried, okay? I was thinking about this. This is so important. Have faith in God to find you a husband if you're a woman, or a wife if you're a man. Normally, we never had to say that. Today, you do, okay? But listen, in the meantime, you live a holy life. Live a holy life. Live a pure life. Live an honorable to Christ life. You say, you know what? It's too late for that. I've already messed up my life. Well, be holy from now on. Just say, you know what? Okay, I can't do anything about yesterday. I'm going to live a holy life. I thank God that my wife and I walked down an aisle pure and holy and virgin. I thank God for that. No problems with that. That's biblical. Look, you got plenty of time to catch up on things after you get married. No problem there, okay? But listen, you live a holy life, a pure life. Hey, keep your hands off of each other if you're not married to each other. The Bible says, nevertheless, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Talk about somebody you're not married to, okay? Now, I want you to look at Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. Verse 22. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Thank you. if you're in Bible college, and he said, you know what that means? You trip over the way. And then he said, but listen, it's no problem if you keep your shoes untied, amen? He said, look, if you want to trip over a wife, keep your shoes untied and be there in the right place, amen? I thank God I didn't find my wife, she found me, all right? But she's regretting that now, but who's the find of the wife? Find the good thing. Have faith in God. Listen, God knows your situation. God knows your story. God knew Isaac's story. And he had to have faith in God that God would find him the wife that God chose for him. And he did. Let's go on to the next thought. Have faith in your marriage. Now, in Hebrews chapter 11, I find at least three married folks here that are even alluded to maybe a little bit or talked about. In verse number 7, it talks about Noah. And it talks about his house, his family. Mrs. Noah. We don't know her name. What a wonderful woman. She raised those three godly young men in an ungodly world. She said, listen, boys, you need to find a godly wife. You ever think about this? Their in-laws never made it on the ark. I don't know what kind of family they grew up in, but they didn't believe God enough to get on that ark. But here were three ladies in this wicked world. And Mrs. Noah, what a wonderful lady. I can't wait to meet her in heaven. What a wonderful lady she is. And it didn't make sense when God told Noah to build the ark, but you don't find her kicking and screaming about it. I can't believe you're going to build a boat in the middle of nowhere. There's no water here. It's never rained. What are you thinking? Have you lost your mind? She supported her husband. Boys are out there working. Hey, we got a century work project out here. Well, that'll keep them out of trouble. Here they are working on this ark. She believed God when it didn't make sense. Think about Abraham and Sarah, verse number 8. Abraham and Sarah, verse number 8, verse number 9, verse number 10, verse number 11, and on, right? Here, they are called to do the impossible. They're going to go somewhere they've never seen before. They're going to have a child in their old age. Have faith in God in your marriage. How about this? Look at verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. We could go back to the book of Genesis here. We could find out more. Exodus. We could find out more about Amram and Jochebed. But we won't. Amram and Jochebed were Moses' parents. The king said, every boy that's born, kill him. We don't want an army raised up of the Hebrews against the Egyptians. We're going to kill all the boys. And they said, oh, no, we can't do that. He was hid by his parents. He's up to 3 months old. You ever try to keep a 3 month old quiet? That was before duct tape. Sorry. Can't do that. Okay. Don't do that. Okay. You just, you know, stick their arm over here, right? You ever try to keep a 3 month old? They're just not quiet. Sorry. Here they are with a 3 month old, up to 3 months old, right? And finally they said, okay, let's put him in an ark made of bulrushes. And we'll put him in this little boat. We'll put him out in the river. And then we'll let his sister watch him. You know, I think after Miriam probably got leprosy, she thought, you know, I should have just sunk that boat a long time ago. So here he is out there in this ark of bulrushes out in the river. Hey, wild animals live out there. Hey, you could drown out there. You know what they had to do? They had to say, you know what? We are going to have faith in God that in an unbelievable circumstance, we are going to not do what the king says and kill our son. We're going to let him live. Have faith in God with your children. Moses in the ark. That was not a good situation, but they trusted God. They trusted God with their children. Teach your children to serve God by example. I'm so thrilled. You know, look, so many people went over and above with this parade thing, right? Some people bring your kids on the parade, right? Some of you bring your kids on the bus. And this morning, Vaughn has his little girl, 2 years old, on the bus. Listen, you teach them to serve God when they're little by example. I brought my kids every Sunday on the bus, driving the bus. I had to put seatbelts on it because it didn't have any. I'd swap out one, and then the next one. I want to have a wife when I got home. What are you doing living with these two little kids? Go serve God. We're going to bring one with. Hey, this morning, today, is the second day our son Aaron is a bus captain for the first time in Chicago. He's in Chicago today. I was born in Chicago. You know, in Chicago, they do not fire warning shots, okay? They just go at it, right? You know how many people get killed on the weekend in Chicago? My son is there right now in Chicago, serving in a bus ministry of a Baptist church, right? And I'm good with that. I'm like, yeah, good. Stay out till midnight. Win them all to Jesus. Amen? I used to go out there on the same streets, right? Hey, it's the Jesus people. Put your drugs away. It's the Jesus people. No, you don't beat them up and rob them. Except Brother Jackson. He did get hit with a golf club. He did. Ask him about it sometime. It's the Jesus people, right? Look, have faith that God's going to take care of your kids. Listen, you'd be better off having your child be a missionary in Papua New Guinea, where they probably still eat people, than have them live in Newton, Massachusetts, the safest city in America, and not serve God. You'd be better off having your kid be poor and eat fried rabbit tracks in the will of God, like Elisha at the brook eating roadkill, than you would having them live in the greatest palace in the world outside of the will of God. Have faith in God that God's going to take care of your children. God's going to take care of your kids. Listen, you're invincible till God's through with you. Amen? Have faith in God with your children. Amram and Jochebed did. Teach them to serve God. Verse 24. Let's see what it says. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Let me give you a couple points on this. What in the world did Moses' parents teach him when he was a little baby? What did they teach him when he was a little boy? Boy, they sure must have taught him a lot, because it stuck for a lifetime. I mean, all of his life, he said, you know what? I'm a Hebrew. All of his life, he looked at the slaves and he said, these are my people. All of his life, he said, God has a plan for my life, and it's not to sit on the throne of Egypt. Now think about it. The richest country in the world. We say, well, that's nice. Richest country in the world. Everything at his disposal. They didn't just have bank accounts. The Bible says they had treasure cities. And Moses said, no, I'm going to serve God. I am going to do the will of God. To do the will of God means, verse number 8, to go where God wants you to go. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to God into a place which he should have to receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whether he went. Listen, you can trust God that God knows what he's doing. When he calls you to do something and go somewhere, obey him. Now, his call is never going to go against the word of God. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. We read over and over again, and Enoch walked with God. And Enoch walked with God. Do you walk with God? Trust God to do the will of God. Go where he wants you to go. Please him while you're on your way there. Here's another one. Look at verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies with peace. Have faith that God wants to forgive you and God wants to use you again. Here's Rahab, the harlot. God puts it right here in Scripture. Somebody that we say, no, I don't want to use her in the will of God. I don't want to put her in the plan of God. And God did. And 5 verses into the New Testament, in Matthew chapter 1, she is found in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Why? Because God wants to forgive every sinner and wants to use them again. And God said, you know what? You want to point your pharisaical nose up in the air like you've never done anything wrong? God said, I'm going to put somebody in the genealogy of Christ that you wouldn't even give the time of day. Rahab the harlot. I'm not for doing anything wrong and sinful, but I am for the forgiveness of God. She becomes David's great-great-grandmother. Wow. Have faith that God wants to use you again. You know, the devil puts some people on the sidelines. They beat themselves up with guilt, and they think, God can never use me again. No, God can use you absolutely. Look at the next one, verse 25. There's so much in this chapter. Hey, we are on page 2. Verse 25. We read it already. Choosing rather suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for respect and the recompense of the reward. It talks about treasures. So have faith in God with your money. Treasures of Egypt were great riches, but the treasures that God has are greater riches. Look, if you serve God, it doesn't mean you're going to get rich. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any problems. But you'd be better off serving God and finding God has a priority for your life, and that is not to live for the treasures of this world. But trust God with your money. There's an order to money. Tithes, debts, needs, and luxuries. and luxuries. If you get that out of order, your financial house is going to get messed up. It's just plain and simple. That's just how the Bible works. So put it in order. Watch God bless it. Trust God with your money. Trust God in your trials. Verse 32. Verse number 32. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak, and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might attain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. These are your Christian forefathers and foremothers, okay? Of whom the world was not worthy, they wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received what? Not the promise. That'd be pretty discouraging, wouldn't it? I lived for God and I didn't receive the promise. I was faithful and I didn't get anything back. In your trials, they never saw the answer. Think about Job. Job is an example of God's grace of a Christian suffering faithfully. He loses his children, all 10. You know the story. I'll not go into it, but you can read about it. He loses all 10 of his children. His wife says, curse God and die. He gets a horrible disease from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He has boils. He's scraping himself with a pot shirt, sitting in the city dump. All of his oxen are gone, his camels, his sheep, his donkeys. He's broke. And he's broken. And he says, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I know that my Redeemer liveth. He said, I'm going to live for God. It doesn't matter what happens to me. And he did. And you read the last chapter of Job. Thank God. Trust God in your trials. Trust God with your future. Last point. Chapter 11, verse 13. These all died. What's the next two words? In faith. These all died in faith. Not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. These all died in faith. It's your choice. How are you going to die? Are you going to die in faith or are you going to die out of faith? I'm going to die in faith. I've made up my mind. You know what? I'm going to die falling forward. I'm going to die in faith. I'm just going to keep on going. I've been down the road too far. I've invested too much. I've opened my mouth too many times. I'm just going to go ahead and die the same way I live. I'm going to die in faith. Hope you make up your mind, because look at verse 25. It is a choice. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Make up your mind. I'm going to die in faith. It's your choice. Now, I want you to look at one last thought. Look at verse number 39 again. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, that word perfect, they're only going to be perfect when you get to heaven. That word perfect means complete. They without us should not be made perfect. Okay? How many of you ever ran track and field in your life? Okay? All right? I used to run track and field. Now I run when there's a Doberman Pinscher, and I went through the gate to knock on somebody's door, and I know he can make it there faster than I can. Okay? Get really quick. Okay? Track and field. Okay? So, remember they had this thing called the relay race, right? Usually it's like a 440 relay race. Right? That was as long as I went. I know they do probably mile ones, right? So you got a team of four, right? And the first person starts out, bang, they fire that gun, poof, they go running around the track, right? And they have a baton in their hand. And the second person is waiting like this, right? You remember those days? They're waiting like this. And the person comes and they hand off the baton and they get it and they run their lap. You know, I think we're about in the fourth lap. I think we're getting close to the finish line, and that fourth person running that race is you. All these people in the Bible died in faith and they didn't see the promise. You and I are in the fourth lap. We've been given the baton by some incredible people. Think about the people that came before us in Scripture. Think about the people that came before us in history. Think about somebody who gave you the gospel. You got that baton. Listen, It's not time for everybody else to go up and get crispy crunchies and hot dogs and hamburgers and just say, well, I don't care about the race. It's time to be engaged in the race. It's time to run your lap. Let us so run, looking unto Jesus, right? The next chapter, chapter 12. That's what it talks about. We're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Those who run before are interested in your lap. Listen, I am not going to be the guy who drops the baton. I've dropped it plenty of times. But I just want to keep picking it up. I'm not going to be the guy who just goes and disengages and says, well, you know, I'm just going home. I'm just going to kick my feet up and wait for the trumpet to sound. I want to die in faith. Don't you want to die in faith? Have faith in God for salvation. Number two, have faith in God for life. All those things we talked about.